You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
So it's like yin and yang, but there's yin, but there was no yang. So accelerates the yang into this funny, crazy world of tech. For example, if you have a first call resolution measurement, but you also need a first class experience.
Welcome to Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich, Chief Research Officer at the DevOps Institute. Our title for the podcast today is How to Master the Art of a Perfect Experience. I'm hoping that this title is making you curious. Well, I'm curious. I'm very curious for the upcoming conversation, and I'm excited to have a fantastic guest today. Today, we have with us Marco Giannotin. He's the founder and CEO of Giarte. Hello, Marco.
Yes, well, thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to this podcast.
Again, I am excited to speak to you today. Let me give our listeners a little bit of a background on you. So I'll talk to you about you in third person. I hope that's okay. So Marco's badge of honor in the C-suite is the friendly insultant. I love that. Marco is well known for outside-in market views and creative problem solving. He's also seen as a thought leader in experience management and XLA. We'll get to that in a little bit later. His favorite saying, do or do not, there is no try. He's very sharp, disruptive, a pioneer of the experience revolution, likes to speak at home and abroad, and pushes change into overdrive with compelling arguments to act. I love this description. I hope, Marco, this is a compliment, of course, to you. Is there anything I have missed?
No. Well, that I want to be a chef, but I'm a failed chef. But that's for the aftermath of this podcast. No, it makes me very humble and also very proud. So thank you for being on this podcast.
Well, thank you again. Welcome again. And how I found you, Marco, was I did, of course, research in and who I would want to bring in to talk about service level agreements and all of those wonderful topics. And I found, I think it was on LinkedIn, where you said that SLA stands for secret lies and assumptions, which really caught my attention. As we are in the month of February, doing a lot of conversations and a focus on the topic of site reliability engineering, we, of course, are very interested in the topics of SLAs, KPIs, and OKRs. And that is really why I thought I have to talk to you. So tell me about this statement, secret lies and assumptions. What made you say that?
Well, I love ITIL. I love DevOps. In ITIL, they have many descriptions starting with the word service, like a service level report or a service level objective or a service level agreement or a service manager or service design. But actually, it's not about service. It's about process. So to many business managers, an SLA stands for secret lies and assumptions. For example, at a large retailer, all the IT suppliers, all the outsourcing, the whole landscape, everybody was protecting their SLA, but the shelves were empty. So system availability was their truth, but shelf availability was the truth of the business. So if the shelves are empty and the basket size is empty and the customers are unhappy, I don't give a crap about an SLA. You don't do a good job. So this is, I wanted to reinvent the word SLA. It's still a service level agreement, but for to the business when it doesn't work, when it's a watermelon, so it's green inside, all the metrics are green in the service level report, but actually the atmosphere, the surrounding, and the emotions are in the red zone, you have a watermelon. And then I came up with, I need something else. So it was secret lies and assumptions, and then outsourcing, I call it sore loser agreement. But to catch my drift, it's something, okay, what's the truth? What's reality? And you don't hide behind your own reality and claim I do a great job as IT. No, you don't do a great job, but IT is so important to the business that we're not able to talk mumbo jumbo tech. We have to talk the language of the business.
Beautiful. Let's explore a little bit about Giarte. You're the founder of Giarte. Love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about what you all do at Giarte.
So we're focused on bringing touch into tech. So for true nerds, we're called the sissies of IT. And we're proud of that. We bring in the touch. Normally, when you say the word empathy in a software company, you get fired. But we bring empathy. We bring experience to the world of tech. So you have the general trend of experience management. That's real big. But we bring experience management into the world of tech and technology and outsourcing and ecosystem. So we focus on the X. And that's about three things. That's about customer experience or employee experience or developer happiness, so the human. It's about business impact. And the funny thing is, if systems go down, the word outage and outrage differ one letter. So that's business impact. And the third one is about collaboration, about win-win by design. So these are the three value drivers. We put it into a concept, and a concept evolved into a framework, and we call that now XLA, the experience level agreement.
Very good.
So we help large companies with, well, let's say three things. It's the mindset, so flip thinking. Great example is there was a famous German, there's still a famous German car maker in Bavarian. And they claim Freude am Fahren, enjoy driving, but they used 853 KPIs just for workplace management. So there was no emotional or experience metric included. So that was a typical secrets, lies, and assumption. That was not actually the reality. So helping those companies to get into the mindset and having the skills, like, for example, experience management. What kind of capability is that? And also, what kind of tools do you use to measure, to monitor, to optimize end user experience, customer experience, everything that's digitally related?
So something caught my attention on your website. And again, this is related to our months of site reliability engineering. And I'm going to quote from your website. It says, XLA is a powerful new addition to the traditional IT service level agreements, or SLAs, one that builds on the SLA concept by measuring human sentiment and using this to break down silos and think and act from the perspective of a user. So I have a three-pronged question. First, explain to us, what are XLAs? Second, how different are they from service level agreements? And can I, if I am in that, for example, company you were talking about or any others, if I am managing SLAs, can I move from SLAs to XLAs? And how would that look?
Oh, great questions. Okay, the first one, okay, what's an XLA? It stands for experience level agreement. Actually, it's a framework, but also a commitment to apply experience management in organizations and ecosystems, for example, outsourcing relationships. So it's a framework and a commitment. The second question is, okay, you have the world of SLAs and ITIL, and we're agnostic. So you have to rethink about IT, and IT is left brain oriented. So it's about the details. And if we look to SLA, it's about the important details. It's about process first. It's about tangible output, like the efficiency of a server, so uptime or availability. So it's technology centric. So XLA is about the bigger picture. It's about the impact you have on the business and especially human beings. So it's like yin and yang, but there's yin, but there was no yang. So XLA is the yang into this funny, crazy world of tech. For example, if you have a first call resolution measurement, well, you also need a first-class experience. So you can look at incident management, but also, okay, what was the impact on lost productivity? You can focus on problems, but also prevent them, what we call zero repeat. It's the same difference between if a product is not available on the shelf because of an IT problem, that's reality. And if you claim that the system is still up, that's not reality, because the business is hurt and people are not happy. So at KLM, they started rethinking about their metrics. And eventually, they are in the business of flying planes, not IT, but they need IT to support their main business. So if you have a flight delay due to IT because above and below the wing IT systems fail, then you have a flight delay due to IT. And our goal as IT is to have no flight delays due to IT, because if I have a flight delay, that's costing you money. You have to pay a penalty. Your net promoter score will go down, because if I'm there, you know, and not able to fly as a customer, I'm not happy. I wouldn't recommend you, and you have to change the crew. So finding out what we call key proudness indicators, what actually makes the business or the customer or the ecosystem tick, and focus on those things that really matter. So that's why we introduce key proudness indicators, because they motivate you to do the right thing, and you know you do the right thing.
Are you looking to get DevOps certified? Demonstrate your DevOps knowledge and advance your career with a certification from DevOps Institute. Get certified in DevOps Leader, SRE, or DevSecOps, just to name a few. Learn anywhere, anytime. The choice is yours. Choose to get certified through our vast partner network, self-study programs, or our new SkillUp e-learning videos. The exams are developed in collaboration with industry thought leaders and subject matter experts in the DevOps space. Learn more at devopsinstitute.com/certifications.
I was just traveling across to the US in Christmas time, and of course there was a huge challenge from one particular flight provider, travel company, we were not delighted. And what really made me a little bit upset was when I was sitting at the airport, the news hit that it was infrastructure and IT who was responsible for the outage, because they had aging systems. Of course, I wasn't, and I am not part of that company, but I felt a little bit offended that their IT department is blamed for this situation, and they make it very public. So an excellent example, and I am a KLM flyer, lucky for me that you guys have worked with them, but I felt really, really sad for this IT organization who gets to, who is blamed for all this mess happening over Christmas in the US. Anyway, sorry.
And that's also what happens to IT. People don't celebrate success or not proud, because they're always on the wrong end. You know, they always get the blame, and they accept the blame. It's the same as I start reporting all my metrics. I don't celebrate success, you know. I don't know if I report metrics and I think I do a good job, but actually the business is go down. For example, these IT guys working very hard, but actually if there's underinvestment, or they don't have the wrong metrics. So they, for example, they don't have the backup procedures, because, well, they didn't have enough money. But if you don't have the backup procedures and you have an outage, your recovery time goes up. So your recovery time objective, you know, that's really key. So if we're down for 10 minutes, that's okay. If we're down for 3 hours, okay, that's totally wrong, because then the system will collapse and we have to replan everything. But those kind of discussions are not business IT alignment stuff. I don't know what they're talking about, because we invested a lot of money in business IT alignment, and I don't know what they're doing. There's only one language, and that's the language of the business and the customer. If IT starts talking that business, for example, I also make a joke that's EBIT, earnings before interest and tax. To most IT guys, it just means earnings before IT. So talk the language of the business, and I really help those people. But even at KLM, people within IT, they were not very happy, you know, and they started outsourcing. And instead of helping the service providers, they were blaming them, because they were bullying them, because they were bullied by the business. So it's also about, you know, when you're doing a great job, I don't have to be managed by someone. If I have no flight delay due to IT, I know I did a great job, when the answer is zero on a Friday, because then we have celebrate and we have drinks, because I know I did a great job, because it's my impact on the business. So Heineken invented the beer KPI on the impact of SAP hosting on the production, and especially the selling of beer in Asia and Africa, because you don't want to do a change just prior to the end of the rain season in Africa, because then they celebrate and they drink all the beer.
Yeah.
So being in the mind and being thoughtful and understanding the business, because the business is very trigger happy, because they have the money. So the relationship between IT and business, or doesn't work if they speak different languages. And having a service level agreement, it actually is a watermelon. So it's called secret lies and assumptions to the business. That's not good for IT, because it makes you depressed even.
Yeah. As an IT person, this is music to my ears, because I would love to have a proudness indicator, which helps me to share and celebrate what I have done. But here's another question. You guys talk a lot about the human experience in tech. And I think you talked about left brain, right brain. Many of our listeners are developers, site reliability engineers, DevOps, and team members of IT. They don't really do a lot of, you know, thinking in terms of human experience and technology. Maybe it's user experience. But again, if you're in operations or in DevOps, not too much concerns about that. Give us a little bit more insight on your guys' thinking in terms of human experience and technology. How can our listeners start such new thinking?
Yes. Okay. For example, like user interaction or user design, that's the saddle. XLA is the horse. So holistically, it's bigger. And most people, the most important word in DevOps or in Agile, the Agile Manifesto, is the word valuable. They made one mistake and they named it valuable software, but it has to be value anything you do. But value is very abstract to understand. As a human being, it has to be valuable for me, like an end user or a business, but it has to be valuable, or I have to be valued as a developer. So if I'm a developer and I make code, not only makes the product owner happy, but the customer happy, because it's easy for them to adopt, they love the software, they love the feature, the usability goes up, the user adoption goes up. That makes me proud too. And especially in the DevOps way of working in releasing software, it's very important to understand what the end user, what the customer, what the employee is actually doing with that software. And we have product owners that decide on the priorities, and they have their own KVIs, key value indicators. And that's the first thing that goes wrong, and that a KVI is focused on the customer. It's focused on the value. It's not a traditional KPI like uptime or availability or whatever. So if you start changing from a KPI to a KVI in DevOps, that's a good thing. But actually, you need something overarching, because you have multiple teams and they don't really work together. In the end up, it's a bad customer experience. So a key proudness indicator works very well as the mother of all key value indicators. So I think in the DevOps community, in the software engineering community, that they will adopt XLA thinking too. For example, they start thinking about experience engineering, like they do in product engineering. If you go to a car maker, if you go to Boeing, if you go to any company that makes great products, in product design, you also think about experience. The famous book, Emotional Design by Don Norman, that's a classic book. And it's well known in product management and product design and designers, but actually no one, almost no one in IT, and especially DevOps, knows that book. This guy wrote two great books about about design. And I love the book Emotional Design, because that's part of the nature. That's part. When Boeing developed the Dreamliner, it was about emotion, because this was the first airplane they ever designed with a human being in mind. The previous edition, when they were designing a plane, was about safeness. And then they came up with the jumbo jet. It has to be cheap. And the third generation in designing an airplane was about the human experience. And then the first problem they encountered at Boeing was when you start talking to people, like I'm in a focus group together with you, Evelyn, and you say, well, what do you want? You say, I want more leg room. An engineer really understands that, because that's a functional requirement. So I say, I don't want to feel locked up. What happens with traditional engineer? They say, my God, he's an idiot. Well, should we make it into a convertible? This sucker will freeze to death, because on 10,000 meters, minus 50 Celsius degrees, something like that. That's not empathy, that's apathy. Mm-hmm. So they changed the design team also with social engineers, and now they understand. So the Dreamliner and the Airbus 350 are about the human being, and it's about humidity. It's about light. It's about the experience. And you feel more refreshed after a flight with a Dreamliner than a 777. So in car, in airplane, in electronics, in the iPhone, what Apple, that's all about design, emotional design. People have to love it. But in software, we still have to embrace that thinking.
I love that. I love the Dreamliner example. Absolutely right on, having that design for the relaxing journey to your destination. Fantastic example. Just something for the listeners, as you mentioned that, Marco, Don Norman, if anybody wants to do some research in that, he is a very famous thought leader and is actually working on another book at this point of time. I think it's called The Digital Transformation Experience. But I was fascinated by some of his writings and actually have pre-ordered his book on this digital experience. So just for our mm-hmm. listeners. Again, Dreamliner is an excellent example. Now, you are releasing an XLA Pocket book, I think, pretty soon. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. When we started this, I was like, we were like a lonely nut. So there's a famous YouTube footage or like a video, and the video is by a guy dancing on his own, and then people start following. So we did a lot of good practices already for a lot of large companies in the US, in Europe, even in Japan. And we were infusing our thought with game design or product design, and then you have to come up with a glossary. And then we said we're going to share this with a lot of people. We want to have an academy. We want to develop the skill sets for people. So then you have to start codifying your knowledge. And we started with a pocketbook. It will be published in 3 weeks from now, the US version, together with Fanhara Publishing. And we're really excited because we're now into the open. And that will be followed by something more spectacular in the summer that calls a ritual book. Because the great thing about Agile, or especially DevOps, is about the ceremonies. It's about the sprint planning or a daily stand-up or a sprint review or a sprint retrospective. Okay, ceremonies are like rituals. So we developed a lot of rituals, like the key proudness indicator or the KPI stress mm-hmm. methodology, or a lot of great things that could be applied. And also law firms love this, to put it into the contract, because the spirit of the contract is really important if you start collaborating. So we work together, all the people. The pocketbook will be out there. And when this podcast will be there, people hopefully will look at it and they can order it. And we have a lineup of great products, books, e-learning, video content to share this. And we train people in Lesotho. And my team is now working in Portugal and in Spain and in France, and we're very proud when people start stealing stuff from us, and that makes us very proud. Like Picasso said, if you're a good artist, you copy; if you're great artist, you steal. So we help this community, and a lot of young people and old people with the spirit, the people from the ITIL community, people from the DevOps community, people from any community, even with people with Lean, and so we had to discuss, what is so great about this? And they said, well, like Lean, we started all about Lean thinking. When I was in university, about was no waste. And Lean IT is there. So Lean is about no waste. ITIL is about no chaos. Agile is about no delay. And, well, we needed a fourth one. We call it XLA, and it will be about no frustration. And if we have no waste, no chaos, no delay, no frustration, I think we'll all be happy with the digital transformation. So we're on a mission. We love to share and we love to hear. And it's great that sometimes people send us, well, we apply this in a way. And one of the most funny things is that at the Dutch Railway, they launched applications on time, on budget, like Prince 2. And people were actually crying because I'm not able to work with this release. And they said, mm-hmm. well, how can we celebrate success when the customer is not happy? So on time, on budget was not complete. So they said it has to be on experience. So that's OX. So it was on time, on budget, on experience. And now it's called auto-boxing. It's a verb and we have to auto-box. It's in their nature, in their DNA. So the developers and the business are extremely happy and only happy when the customer is happy.
Wow, fantastic. You know, after, let's say, 40 years in IT, the no frustration is very, very motivational because I have done all kinds of work, design, development, support. I carried a pager in the early stages, and that was the most frustrating time of my IT career. So this is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. For those who are listening, the XLA Pocketbook, I will make sure that I will share with you the website. It's actually pretty easy, grta.com. Go look there. If you have specific questions, reach out to me. I know where to find Marco. Now, Marco, I have one more question. This has nothing to do, well, slightly. It has to do with experience, but not necessarily with tech. What do you do for fun?
Well, I do a lot of things for fun. I like to read, but especially I'm an ambidexter golfer. So I play left hand and right hand. So I'm a masochist that plays against himself. So I do 9 holes left hand and 9 holes right handed. So, and it's a very interesting way. It's also related to Chinese sword fighting. So that's a very non-traditional way of playing golf. And the second, I love cooking. I started cooking for toddlers, cooking classes, and read the thing because taste is so important for people, healthy food, but also if you have people early or maybe with dementia and you start the taste of your youth, that's really important. So I wanted to be a chef my life. I turned out to work in IT, but I started working as a teenager in the kitchen, and that's still one of my biggest hobbies. And making people happy with food is also a passion.
Fantastic. We have more in common than you think. I also play golf, but only right hand. So when you come down to where I live, we can go and you can teach me the other way. Mm-hmm. I love to cook. I always pride myself that I'm the best cook in my family. And when I go to a restaurant, I always say I can make this better than these people. So I can cook for you. So come on down.
I will, yeah.
Thank you so much for this very, very enlightening conversation. We have been talking to Marco Giannotin, founder and CEO of Giarte. Marco, again, thank you for joining me today on the Humans of DevOps podcast. Again, for our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about the XLA Pocketbook, keep checking at giarte.com. And last but not least, Humans of DevOps is produced by the DevOps Institute. Our audio production team includes Julia Papp, my good friend, and Brendan Lay, my good friend as well. I'm Humans of DevOps podcast executive producer, Evelyn Ehrlich. If you would like to join us on a podcast in the future, please contact us at humansofdevopspodcast@devopsinstitute.com. Boy, that's not a good name. It's a mouthful. Thank you again. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.